so warm, and fleas are starting to hatch, and I'm getting calls and emails about it. So we're going to run Martha's four-step flea plan so you guys are all prepared. Don't get overrun with fleas. Then we'll be back. Vets and Sunday continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
This is Martha with another Animal World tip. With the warmer weather coming, something I'm sure we'd all rather not think about, fleas. But if you want to keep fleas off your animal friends and out of your house, and if you'd prefer to do that holistically with all natural stuff rather than with toxic chemicals, now is the time to get prepared and start paying attention. The good news is, it's not difficult or majorly time-consuming to keep your animals and living environment flea-free, naturally. But you do need to know what you're doing, and there are four steps involved for complete success. Step one is preventative and involves making your dog or cat friend unattractive to fleas. Fleas are not attracted to healthy animals. They like animals that are unhealthy and physically out of balance, and one of the most important factors keeping your animals healthy is what you feed them. I recommend you start by feeding the highest quality, all-natural diet you can. This can consist of processed, dry and or canned, dehydrated, home-cooked, raw, or a combination of several of these types of food. Whatever you choose to feed, I suggest you add the Missing Link supplement to provide what's missing in the foods themselves, especially the omega-3 and 6 oils, essential for healthy skin. For critical flea months, say May through October or November, you can add a supplement to your dog or cat's food to help repel fleas. Bodyguard, a yeast and sulfur formula, and Vetline, yeast and garlic, are two products that I have found to be successful. Some animals may require additional supplementation to be healthy, like antioxidants, probiotics, or digestive enzymes. A good holistic veterinarian can help you get this right. The better you feed your animal friends, the healthier and less attractive to fleas they're going to be. Step two is to get rid of fleas on your animals and then keep them off. At this time of year, unless your situation is an unusual exception, you have no fleas on your animals yet. So right now, this step is all about paying attention and prevention, so the fleas don't get a jump on you and get established in your home and yard. If you allow your animals to leave your environment or take them off your property, especially if it's to a potential flea area, like a dog park, it's a good idea to spritz them with a natural herbal flea repellent spray. My favorites are products made with erigeron, also known as fleabane or neem. You can get these products from holistic vets or naturally inclined pet stores. I spritz Annie Golden Retriever before we go to a questionable area, and sometimes again before we come home. During flea season, which begins any time now, it's a good idea to do your regular flea checks on all your animals. Running a flea comb through your dog or cat's fur is one way to check. Comb down the middle of their back, be sure to comb around the base of their tail and also around their neck and chin. Another way is to roll them over and check their bellies, watching for fleas. For dogs with heavy coats, too thick for a flea comb, have them stand up, facing the same direction you are. Stand over them, and starting at the base of the tail, run your thumbs backwards through the fur, up the back to the neck, looking for running fleas or flea dirt. Flea dirt is tiny black specks made of dried blood. If you suspect you found some flea dirt, crush it on a wet paper towel. If it turns red, it's flea dirt. Time for a thorough flea combing. Remember to have a bowl of soapy water ready to dump any fleas you find into. Repeat this once or preferably twice a day until the fleas are gone. You might prefer to bathe your animal friend to kill fleas instead of combing. No need to use flea shampoo with insecticide. Any mild shampoo will kill fleas if you leave the lather on the animal for 2 to 3 minutes. Be sure to supervise and do not allow your animal friend to lick any of the shampoo. Step three is to get rid of fleas in your house and keep them out. If by chance you're an exception to have fleas in your house now or in the future, my first choice to get rid of them is Fleego, a safe powder you sprinkle on floors and fabric that dehydrates the fleas. It's available at any good pet store. If you do not have any fleas in your house now, just follow the rest of my four-step flea program and you won't get any. Step four is to get rid of fleas in your yard, and this is probably the most important step of all. Keeping your outdoor environment free of fleas is truly the key to keeping fleas out of your house and off your animals. Now, you only need to do this step if you had fleas on your animal friends last year. If you did, then it's critically important to spray your yard with beneficial predatory nematodes. That's beneficial predatory nematodes. They are microscopic living creatures that eat the larvae of fleas. They also do crane flies. They come in suspended animation, so to speak, and come alive when you mix them with water and spray the grassy and dirt areas around your house and yard. Because these nematodes are alive, you must wait to spray until the outdoor temperature is consistently above 50 to 55 degrees. Spray just before a rainfall or in the morning or evening and water them in well. They last about 6 to 8 weeks, and if you've had a serious flea infestation recently, you may need to spray twice the first year. The good news here is that once you get those fleas out of your outdoor environment and you practice step one and two, you won't have to spray the nematodes every year. By the way, you can buy the nematodes at garden supply stores, some pet stores, and feed and grain stores. I know you may be thinking how much easier it is to use what I call the chemical quick fixes, like the liquid spot-on products, pills, or injections. And you absolutely can do that. It's your choice. But it is my opinion that these products can be dangerous to both our animal friends and our environment. And I think if you knew what I know, you wouldn't use them. Okay, so there you have it, Martha's four-step flea prevention program. And if you need more detailed help or clarification, call me, because Animal World will be right back.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue, now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Good morning. I'm Martha Norwalk and welcome you to the first hour or the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now you can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. Now the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the home page. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. All right, now, it is the first Sunday of the month, and that means it's Vet Sunday with Dr. Al Pluckner, and we're going to get back to that in just a moment, but as promised, we are going to do our giveaway right now, and that is for a one-year free subscription to the Soul Spa at robinalexis.com. And it is absolutely phenomenal. And I don't want you to call unless you're really serious and we'll really use your subscription to the Soul Spa. There's all kinds of neat stuff available on Robin's website. And when you're a member of the Soul Spa, and any of you can go to robinalexis.com and sign up for the free month's trial subscription, 1 month, but we're giving away a whole year. And then, so you get access to the portals. The energy and healing portals are phenomenal. I keep them on all the time. I do all the meditations. Sandy does the same. I'm noticing a tremendous difference in my life related to all of this. I'm sure it will help you too. So, get your pens ready. Phone lines are open. What we're going to do is when you call, Sandy will just put you on hold, and then she will intuitively pick a winner. So, local number, 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Toll free, 888-298-5569. That's 888-298-5569. If you're not dialing, dial now, because there's one line left open, and you could be the winner. All righty. Okay, so Sandy will let us know who wins the one-year subscription for Robin Alexis's Soul Spa, robinalexis.com, and we will give away another free year's subscription next week, and we will do it in the 11 o'clock hour, the third hour of the show. So if you don't win today, if you haven't won before and you want to, be sure you're here next week, and we will do the giveaway in the third hour. All right, let's get back to a Vet Sunday with Dr. Al Pluckner, author of Pets at Risk, From Allergies to Cancer, Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic, the Breakthrough Endocrine Immune Balance Program. Good morning again, Dr. Al. Are you still with me?
Yes, I am, Martha.
Oh, I have to tell you, Sandy's being goofy today, Dr. Al.
So what's new?
Well, you know, she takes the phone calls in the other studio, and then I have a computer screen in front of me. Valerie has it in front of her too, and Sandy types in the name and the person where they're calling from and what they're calling about. Then she has the option of putting little graphics up. And they're little smiley faces.
I love it.
Some are happy, some are sad. Well, you won't, because she gave you the rude face. So you have the happy face with a red tongue sticking in and out.
Well, that's better than what the alternatives are. So, you know, whatever. Thanks, Andy.
Yeah. So she's got you sticking your tongue out at us.
I love it.
All right, so I think before we get in, well, when we have a lull in the action around here, we will talk about the imbalance and all of that. But at the moment, we've got folks on the line, and I know we've got a follow-up call here that's very important. So, first,
can you hear me? Okay, with.
Yeah, we can hear you just fine. We'll see how
I'm sorry it's not coming through to your listeners.
Let's see what happens on this next call.
Okay.
We're going to line one, Pat in Kirkland. Welcome to Animal World. You're live with Dr. Al and Martha. Good morning, Pat.
Hey, good morning, Martha.
Hi,
Dr.
Pat.
Al.
Hey, can you hear Dr. Al?
I've been able to hear him.
Dr. Al,
could you? Yeah, hi, Pat.
Hey, how's it going? I can hear.
It's fine. Thank you so much for calling in.
All right, now can you each hear each other okay?
Yes, we can.
All right, for anybody that doesn't know, and to refresh Dr. Al's memory, Pat owns Mr. T, Dr. Al, and he's the kitty that used to belong to me.
I remember.
Right. And for any of you listeners.
Diabetes. Yes.
Well, yeah, Mr. T was a rescue cat that I got on my farm as a mouser, and he stayed in my office and kept my farm free of, or my house free of mice. And then when I moved back into the city, I couldn't integrate him. And anyway, Mr. and Mrs. T ended up living happily ever after with Pat and her husband. And Mr. T, what do we think? He's about 12 years old now, huh, Pat?
Yeah, that's the thought.
And then it was, it has to be several years ago now that he got really sick. And he was diabetic for a while, and we had lots of food allergies, all kinds of problems. Well, it turned out he has the endocrine immune imbalance, the Pluckner syndrome. And once he was stabilized and on the protocol, he's been doing great. And in fact, I think we even talked to you last month.
You did.
you were telling us how great he's doing.
Yes.
And at the time, I remember you describing, you were saying, oh, he's slimmed down, and he's trim, and he's active, and he's playing like a kitten. And I remember getting a little twinge and a little tweak of, I'm not sure everything's okay. And sure enough, He is now, he continued to lose weight. You got concerned about him, so you took him in. And yeah. And what did they determine?
Well, they tested him. We decided the best way to determine what's going on, do a blood test, and they found that he is hyperthyroid. So, yeah, I was just wondering then, with this protocol we're on, what sort of things I should take into consideration to treat this hyperthyroid.
Okay, well, that's a very good Pat.
Yeah, and also, and Dr. Al, you should know, Pat has also talked to Dr. Bill Burlingame.
Yeah.
Right, and Bill knows.
And, well, Bill said, it's Vet Sunday on Sunday. Call and talk to Dr. Al. We need to know what he has to say. So
yeah.
We're all waiting to hear what you have to say.
Okay, well, I'd like to thank Bill for sloughing this off on me.
He was supposed to warn you that I was going to call.
Oh, he said he was going to warn you. I guess he didn't, huh?
Yeah, no, he didn't. Anyway, the thing that's interesting, because I've gone through the, real quickly, the latest clinical books on hyperthyroidism.
Yeah.
And what has to be done, Pat, and I'm sure that this has already been done, when there is an increase in thyroid hormone, it's got to be both. It's got to be T3, which is active, T4, which is storage. Now,
so far they've made the diagnosis on the T4 alone. Isn't that right, Pat?
Yes.
Dr. Burlingame requested that they run a T3, but we don't have the results on that yet.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know why, Doctor. I'm sure Dr. Burlingame explained to you that, again, our profession, he knows, I know, that there are a couple things going on. You can have an elevated T4 without a normal or a deficient T3. And all that says is, like in people too, there is a cortisone deficiency. Those know you need a certain amount of active cortisone to transfer T4 to T3. If both T3 and T4 are up, then you do have a state of hyperthyroidism. And as Bill will tell you, they'll use a little tapazole, use something to control the whole thing. But the hang-up in my profession right now is they all go with a T4. Oh, my goodness, the T4 is high. This is what has to be happening. Not true. And what happens is that when that T3 is low, you've got a hypothyroidism situation. And so in any production of that T4, it's not being broken down in the liver and excreted in the kidneys because the metabolism in both those organs is down.
Okay,
it's
well,
deficient.
Now we got
so
another...
guess what? Mm-hmm. You get a buildup of T4. Going, oh my goodness. Well, yeah, because the body can't detox and excrete it. And that's all you have to look at, Pat. And Dr. Burlingame will help you with this if there's a transference problem.
So there's
a
possibility. I see. So once that T3 comes back, if the T3 is low, then it's not hyperthyroidism. It's a conversion problem.
Patient on tapazole. Based upon only a T4, there is a good chance that you basically can really, really hurt that patient.
Okay, so it sounds like, Pat, no decisions on treatment until that T3 we get results. But then we have another glitch with this Dr. Al, because after Pat took him in, you know, because he was losing weight, just in the last, is it just been in the last few days, hasn't it?
That just started Sunday.
Started last Sunday. What, vomiting, diarrhea, no appetite?
Right.
He got dehydrated.
What was his temperature? Elevated temperature or not?
Pardon?
Did he have a temperature? Did he have an elevated temperature?
No, I don't think when I took him in, they took his temperature.
You don't think they did?
Yeah, I don't, yeah.
Well, the thing, hey, Pat, what you guys got to realize, I have over the years seen a tremendous amount of flu.
Oh.
Period, straight away. And we're seeing an epidemic of flu now. And many times it's not a non-exposure situation like with people. Realistically, if there is a change in temperature, probably of more than 30 degrees between day and night, the patient gets stressed out. And people go, well, how can that happen? Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you eat a bad meal and tell me why you got a sore throat and a runny nose in the morning? So the point of it is we're seeing an epidemic of flu right now, and that's what it sounds like. It doesn't sound like it has anything to do with...
Oh, so this may be unrelated to the thyroid business, and he just may have the flu.
Yeah.
Well, see, everybody who thinks to one disease, it's got to be this. Hey, sometimes you got two and three things going on that end up causing major problems. So I think, I think you know, obviously you need to treat him for the vomiting, diarrhea, flu-wise, something to settle the gut, do the whole thing.
Yeah, he's needing fluids. He had to have fluids for the dehydration.
Yeah, and the fluid yesterday really helped. He's a little more willing to eat now. He seems a little better, but...
Yeah, all I could relate, Dr. Al, I talked to Pat on the phone yesterday,
right. And
all I could relate to her, because we know the T3 wasn't back yet, so we didn't really know, but all I could relate to was my older cat that passed away last year, Mohaka, that when she went into hyperthyroidism, you know, late in life, she was feral, so I couldn't treat her, but when she got dehydrated, she would start vomiting, and then, of course, as soon as I rehydrated her with sub-Q fluids, you know, she felt better, she started eating again, she stopped vomiting. So I had Pat yesterday check the hydration, and then Pat, you took Mr. T into the vet and they gave him fluids, and he is feeling a lot better.
Yeah.
So could that be part of the flu process?
With hyperthyroidism too, you have thyroid involvement.
Yeah.
Kidney involvement, excuse me. There's no doubt about that. So if they did a full blood test on him,
yeah,
and looked at his white count to see if it was depressed a little bit, which would be viral induced. It sounds like he's got a couple things going on, to be honest with you, and I think to key in on one without keying on the whole thing is not going to be good for Mr. T.
Okay, so she should keep treating the symptoms.
Yeah.
And then we don't know what's going to happen with the thyroid business until we get that T3 result.
Yeah.
Because he may not be hyperthyroid.
Right, okay. Yeah.
Maybe a Drasser's problem, and this is important for you to know, but you got to treat him. Yeah, I'm sorry, nobody... Well, the thing is, even with an elevated temperature, and the temperature in a cat should normally in a dog be 100.5 to 102.5. Gets up over that, you've got something going on. And the point of this, too, is even if, in fact, the temperature is normal or subnormal, before the immune cells pick up on the virus, that's what happens. Once they pick up on the virus, all of a sudden the temperature will be elevated.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be very misleading. Go, no, he's fine. Normal temperature, subnormal, don't worry about it. No, that's not fine. That's part of the inability of that patient to respond, the immune system to respond to the virus.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, sort of. So now I have other cats with this. None of them got sick.
It's about 30% contagious from my over the years, my experience.
Uh-huh. Okay. And then
he's older. We know he's got the imbalance,
uh-huh.
And so he's more susceptible to breaking with stuff like this.
So with a cat that, you know, has the imbalance but is on the protocol and stabilized, they can still get hyperthyroidism? Or would you expect that, you know, if the imbalance has been stabilized, Dr. Al, that they wouldn't get hyperthyroidism? Or what's the relationship?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean... It's very hard to say. Nobody's ever even researched this, but those cats, dogs, people that do have the imbalance are open to having stuff like this happen. And no one's ever researched it. They have no idea, no clue. They just treat the medical effects. They go, well, you know, thyroid's either got a tumor in it or it's increased in its size and producing too much thyroid hormone. Let's treat the medical effects. Try the tapazole, doesn't work. We'll go to radioactive stuff. We're in a very, very gray area. It's never been done.
Well, now another question. Let's say if in fact he does have hyperthyroidism, do you have a preference as to treatment?
Well, I think you need to talk to the veterinarian that's handling it. Most of them will use a thing called tapazole.
Well, that's the oral treatment, but then Dr. Bill was talking about the radiation, and actually...
So radiation is more permanent, and it depends, too, whether it's just an increase in the tissue, and Dr. Burlingame knows this. If, in fact, it's a tumor, a thyroid carcinoma, you definitely do want to not play with it with chemicals. You want to kill the dumb thing.
I see.
Which is, I think, I mean, that's, again, Bill knows exactly what Bill is doing, trust me. He's a peer I really, really, really am happy to be a peer.
All right, well, Pat, I think we've gone as far as we can right now.
Yeah.
You continue treating the symptoms with Mr. T. Wait and see what that T3 has to say. Then you need to powwow with Dr. Bill again. And depending on what the T3 says, maybe Dr. Bill needs to powwow with Dr. Al off the air to decide what happens next with Mr. T.
He will, trust me.
Yeah. Does that sound good, Pat?
Yeah. Oh, that's no problem. That's kind of what I had planned to do.
All righty.
I just think he wanted to hear what Dr. Pluckner had to say about it, and I think that was exactly what he was thinking, too.
Well, apparently what he's saying is you cannot diagnose hyperthyroidism on the T4 result alone. You need the T3 to make sure you don't have a conversion problem.
Yeah.
So, all righty.
Sounds great.
Scratches and hugs and kisses to the kids.
Will do, yeah.
And keep me posted.
Will do.
Thanks
yeah.
for
yeah,
calling
yeah, thank
in.
You. All right, bye-bye.
All right, and then we're going, let's see, looks like maybe we've got a human question here. We're going to Linwood. TJ, welcome to Animal World. You're live with Dr. Al Pluckner.
Thank you. Good morning.
Morning, TJ.
Morning, TJ.
Yeah, hi. Well, I have a question for Dr. Pluckner regarding something I came across recently in an article about a helminth therapy.
A what?
A helminth therapy, a worm therapy.
Helminth?
H-E-L-M-E-N-T-H, I believe.
Yeah, helminth is helminthes or whatever is refers to an internal parasite that is a worm.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you know what he's talking about.
Oh, yeah.
All right, TJ, what's your question?
Yeah, my question is it's pretty intriguing as far as this kind of relates more to humans. I guess the person talked about it being used low-grade infections to treat, to regulate the immune system for situations such as asthma, allergies, and other things. And I'm just wondering what Dr. Buckner's awareness of that is and how it connects maybe.
All right, well, let's get Martha on the planet here first because I don't have a clue. It sounds like you're talking about that's some kind of worm, and that we give humans worms in order to balance their immune system?
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
That's what it is.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah,
Dr. Al, what's up with that?
It's shocking, but pretty intriguing.
Well, Dr. Al, can you, what do you think?
I think if you're a fisherman, that's okay. No, I, you know what? I have no knowledge of this. I do know when you have chronic helminths, worms, you've got an imbalance. What I would be worried about, TJ, to be honest with you, is that if, in fact, they're giving, and I don't know, I mean, this is, if it works, hey, I love
it. But that's
it.
What you're saying, TJ? They're giving these worms to people?
Yeah, in a nutshell, it's this. There was a person named Jasper Lawrence who had chronic asthma and a lot of problems for years.
Yeah.
He read an article in The Lancet about this approach, and one idea was in the third world, these particular allergies and asthma and other things that are very low, and a lot of intriguing things about it. So he went and infected himself because he couldn't get these. There were some trials, but all his symptoms of conditions completely remitted.
Because he infected himself with
worms. Yeah, with a low-grade worm. But since then, there's other people that have a low-grade treatment. They're either hookworm or whipworm. And it's being studied quite a bit in some of the universities and whatnot, but the idea is they don't really know how it works, but for things such as child diabetes, MS, they've had some clinical experience.
Well, these are all autoimmune diseases.
Autoimmune related problems. Yeah.
Yeah. So what's happening is there's a, in my studies I found a deficiency in cortisone, the whole thing, allowing the immune system to do whatever it wants to do. So then the only question is if in fact this deregulated immune system all of a sudden is challenged by the worms and starts to go after the worms, it might then back off, going ahead and reacting to the pancreas for insulin, the muscles for fibromyalgia, the whole thing. Hard to say. I have no idea. If it does work, that's great. But one thing you got to realize, too, with chronic parasitism you see in third world countries, honest to goodness, and I've been there, they do have immune disorders. They have all kinds of problems. So I don't know. I don't know.
Doesn't it bring up an interesting concept that, we think of parasites as a problem,
right,
that they're bad. But what if one of our lessons is we wake up to find out that there is a simpatico relationship of some kind?
Eventualism. Sure.
Yeah, you know that, okay, so your autoimmune system screwed up, but these parasites, so that attracts the parasites, and then the parasites themselves, when the immune system's reacting to them, it backs off the other, so everything
right.
stabilizes, that maybe there's a symbiotic relationship here that we aren't recognizing.
Right. And
well,
that's,
you know what you worry, I'll tell you what you worry about, those, when you go ahead and you identify whips, hooks, you know, trichuris, your ancylostoma, which is your hooks, and basically your tapeworms and your roundworms, your toxocaria, so on and so forth. In so many of these animals, when you get rid of them, they seem to do better. So I'm not sure. Maybe, I'll tell you what, in a deficiency state, it might make a difference. In a normal situation, I worry about it.
Well, now there you go. You don't need them unless you're sick.
Well, it could be. The idea was that what they're using for treatment and in the therapies is a very low grade of a hookworm, which doesn't replicate, for example, and et cetera. And one comment, in the third world, they have a lot of other problems like malnutrition and a heavy load of a lot of things, like you say. But there's a lot of real interesting research on a particular site. I don't know. I find it very intriguing, related to a lot of things. And it's,
well, it,
you know,
sounds intriguing. What you got to worry about, too, though, TJ, when you think about it, is so many of these worms will produce ovum, if you will, eggs that will go out into their stool, so on and so forth. And what you got to really worry about from an endemic standpoint is, are they in fact going to spread this to the normal population? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You've got to be real careful. They've got to contain their own fecal matter, the whole thing, and make sure that it's going where it should go, and the rest of the general public's not going to be exposed to it, because it may not work yeah. for them, and it may turn into a real
well, I'll tell you what, I won't be signing up to go get worms anytime real soon, I'll tell you that. TJ, fascinating topic. We're up against the clock, though, and I've got full phone lines. So thank you so
thank
much
you.
For calling Animal but, World.
Yeah, keep us posted.
Yeah,
thanks.
Let us know if you find out any more.
Great.
All right. Thanks, TJ. All right. We're going to take care of our advertisers and sponsors, and then we will be get back to our phone calls. So stay with us. Animal World continues with Vet Sunday right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, did you know that even if you feed the highest quality all-natural foods, even if you're home cooking for your animal friends, the ingredients in that food is exposed to heat, light, and oxygen, and that begins to destroy a lot of the important stuff. That's why Designing Health created the Missing Link. Now, they start with human-grade, all-whole, natural, raw food sources. They've perfected a way to protect it from heat, light, and oxygen. It comes to us in a powdered form and a resealable gold foil pouch. You keep it in the refrigerator once you've opened it. Mix up your animal friend's food, add in the Missing Link, a little cool water to mix it in, and voila, you've added what's missing, like the balanced omega-3 and 6 oils, the enzymes in the raw ingredients, the fiber. The Missing Link tends to eliminate excessive shedding problems in cats, in dogs, eliminates hairball problems in cats, and there is a Missing Link formula for dogs, one for cats. There's a vegetarian formula you can feed to both your dogs and cats and other house critters like rabbits and guinea pigs, hamsters, and the like. There's a bird formula and a horse formula, and there is a Missing Link Plus with glucosamine for connective tissue and joint support in a dog and horse formula. So, ask for the Missing Link wherever you shop for premium pet supplies, or go directly to Designing Health. You can give them a call at 1-800-774-7387. That's 1-800-774-7387. Or visit them online at www.designinghealth.com.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off traditional talk radio. Get ready for powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in, and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Listen to the Dr. Pat Show Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to noon on AM 1150, KKNW, and visit thedrpatshow.com.
Massage is good for everyone, including your pets. Learn animal massage close to home at the Northwest School of Animal Massage. Teaching pet owners and horse owners since 2001, the Northwest School of Animal Massage offers flexible online and hands-on classes, transforming your life and the lives of your animals. To learn more about animal health and well-being, go to NWSAM.com and check Pet Shop Talk. And for more information about animal massage classes or Reiki classes, go to NWSAM.com or call 877-836-3703. That's 877-836-3703.
Pam and Rochelle are Chat with Women.
Remember who you're talking to.
Hello.
Chat with Women.
Listen to Chat with Women to be informed, motivated, inspired.
Don't listen to people who tell you it's never been done before. If I had looked at the SWAT team, it was an all-male team, and thought, you know what, if I had done that, I wouldn't have had the incredible experiences.
Take 1 hour out of your day to learn and grow and change your life.
You're living in that virtual world too much.
That's right. Very virtual.
Come on out with us and play.
Every weekday morning at 8, Chat with Women on 1150 KKNW.
This is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I'd like to talk to you about Robin Alexis. Although I liked Robin right away, I was skeptical at first. But let me tell you, that was unwarranted, and now I believe that Robin is the real deal. Often referred to as the metaphysical mother, Robin's a spiritual empowerment coach with incredible gifts. Robin's a medium, ghost and baby whisperer, medical intuitive, past life reader, animal communicator, and channel. In addition to being a radio and TV personality and author, she's also a Reiki master teacher. Simply put, Robin is amazing. I know because she's been helping me incredibly on many levels. Robin is nurturing, powerful, and did I say phenomenally gifted? Robin can help you too. Her books and personal one-on-one phone readings can change your life forever. Let Robin help you heal and release those blockages so you can experience life more fully. To schedule a reading, go to robinalexis.com, and while you're there, download a free copy of the first two chapters of her new book. That's robinalexis.com, or give her a call at 360-457-2993. That's 360-457-2993.
Like what you hear? Be sure and support the sponsors who support your favorite programs on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey y'all, Martha Norwalk. I want to say thank you for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World, and hope you do that every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. It is the first Sunday of the month, and that means it's Vet Sunday with Dr. Al Pluckner, author of Pets at Risk, From Allergies to Cancer, Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic, the Breakthrough Endocrine Immune Balance Program, and the Human Compendium of Articles on the same subject. And we haven't had a chance to talk about the imbalance and what it's all about because, as always, phone calls take priority. And Dr. Al, you still with me?
Yeah, I am.
We still have phone callers, so we're going back to the phones, and this time we're going to Redmond and Susie. Welcome to Animal World. You're live with Dr. Al Pluckner. Hey, Susie?
Hi.
Hey, there she is.
Thank you for taking my call. Dr.
Are you on speakerphone?
Yes.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Thank you.
I do experience the imbalance, and I am working with your protocol.
So have you been diagnosed? You've had the blood test?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Are you working with Dr. Pace?
Yes.
Okay, that folks, that is the naturopath in our Seattle area here that works with Dr. Pluckner's protocol. So you've had your blood tested. You have the imbalance, and Dr. Pace is treating you.
Correct.
All right. Go ahead.
I've been dealing with this for over a year, and I'm very pleased how we're moving forward.
Hey, good.
Oh yes, absolutely. On the last program, right at the end of the program, someone called and they were talking about what's the difference between the free T3 and the free T4. And Dr. Pluckner, you had some very interesting things to say, but there wasn't time. Would you be able to explain this?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I can't. Yeah, I will.
Oh, jeez.
I'd love to. Susie, I'd love to.
Oh, gosh. I think, humor, you got to have fun, right?
Absolutely.
You have to. Life is serious enough.
No, I'm sorry. I can't answer your question.
Be more serious.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you got to have some fun, Susie. And, you know, what you're looking at is where our profession and the MD profession is gone. They're looking for what they call free T3, free T4, meaning it's available. It's free. The body can use it. And where we've gone with this is many of the naturopaths, if you will, are not allowed. They can, I think, in Washington, Oregon, take blood samples, but many of them can't. So they've gone to 24-hour urine samples, which shows you active hormone. In other words, free hormone. They've gone to a salivary test. But what the world doesn't realize, Susie, is that no matter how much free T3, free T4 you have, or T3, T4, or any of these things, the question is, can the body utilize it? And what they don't realize is this estrogenic input causes an actual reverse free T3 that binds thyroid. And so the point of it is, no matter what your thyroid is, no matter how much free thyroid you have, the question is, can your body utilize it? And the interesting thing is, with this, if they don't do estrogen, they don't really know. And so they've got to do a total estrogen along with this. And how you can tell when they say, gee, your thyroid's perfectly fine, and you go, well, you know, but I'm cold sometimes in the morning. You know, my heart rate's not what it should be. Maybe my blood pressure's down. Very simple for the people, and I have this in my compendium for a human protocol. You can actually, in the morning, before you get out of bed, you can actually take a thermometer, put it into your armpit for 10 minutes, and if it's, like, not 97.6, you have a metabolic block going on. So it doesn't matter. And the point that we're getting to is, it doesn't matter how much hormone is there. The question is, can the body use it? And the way you can tell, though, is comparing it to what the immune system, the antibody production is. And that's how you tell. So empirical levels really don't cut it. It's comparative levels that do. But you've got to compare the your hormone system to your immune system.
All right, now I've got another thing that I think may make this a little simpler for I think what Susie wants to hear. Susie, years ago, way back when Dr. Al was discovering and working with this imbalance, the standard thyroid test was running a T3 and a T4. And those are the thyroid hormones. And correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Al, but T4 is the version of the thyroid hormone that is stored. And then T3 is the active amount that's used.
Correct.
And the thyroid puts out the T4, and then the body has to convert it to T3, and that's what it uses.
Right.
Now, in the process of Dr. Al's trying to figure out this endocrine immune imbalance in our animals, he had, over the years, created different kinds of blood tests to try to figure out what's going on. At some point, you came up with this thyroid panel idea with the free T3s and the free T4s and that kind of stuff.
Michigan
State Veterinary School started doing this new thyroid panel. Okay? Now, Susie, are you with me so far?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, then what happened is that after running this thyroid panel for a while, Dr. Al realized that it didn't tell him any more about what he knew, and in fact, it wasn't as accurate in telling him what he needed to know as the old T3, T4 tests. So he scrubbed the panel.
30 years ago, too.
Yeah, 30 years ago he scrubbed the panel. But now this is my own opinion and interpretation. Michigan State didn't scrub it at that point. They're making too much money doing it, so they kept doing it. Pretty soon everybody's doing it. Pretty soon it crosses over to human medicine, and now the state-of-the-art test for thyroid are these thyroid panels that the person whose original idea it was put them in the wastebasket a long time ago because they don't tell us what we need to know. Now, did I get that correct, Dr. Al?
Absolutely. I mean,
okay. So
that's the frustration.
That's why in the EI1 panel, the endocrine immune blood test panel that we use now to diagnose this endocrine immune imbalance, it doesn't involve the thyroid panel. We test the T3, T4, as we used to. Does that help you understand, Susie?
Oh, yes. And now with the relationship to the estrogen, so when the estrogen then is high,
right,
what what is that telling us? Is that the body is not utilizing the T4?
No. What it says to you, there are a couple things going on here. Now, if you're still menstruating, okay, or if you're not, if you're postmenopausal, the point of it is that this estrogen, the only reason it's high is outside of you ingesting estrogenic products, foods and things, phytoestrogens, plastics and things. What it means is that, and this is what I do with Dr. Pace, is that you've got a little bit of a cortisone imbalance. Now, everybody produces cortisone, 30, 35 units if you're normal. If you don't, and there's a deficiency or, again, it's bound, then what happens is the pituitary goes, please give me some more natural cortisone, which then regulates your immune system, does what it has to do, goes through the liver, is broken down, and excreted in your kidneys. When that's not there, the only other layer in the body is the adrenals. When the pituitary is going, please give me some more cortisone, we can't. The inner layer then produces estrogen, and this is the thing that causes binding of the thyroid, deregulated immune system, and it causes inflammation of all the lining of the arteries in the body. And this is one reason when women then are adrenal estrogen prominent, many times when the ovaries kick in, they all of a sudden have migraines or even epileptic seizures. And this is not understood yet. It's got to be, because I'm sure it's all part of autoimmunity, but also what you got to realize, when that estrogen is up, it in fact can cause cancer, the uncontrolled tissue growth, all kinds of problems.
Okay, Dr.
So that's why, you know, and the interesting thing real quick is that even with estrogenic input, if it's from plants or from plastic or from taking birth control pills, so on and so forth, if it kicks you into the imbalance, the neat part about it is, as Dr. Pace knows now, is when you use a certain increase in the cortisone and shut the pituitary down, you can regulate what the adrenals are producing. Therefore, aging, cancer, autoimmunity is all a balance between total estrogen and active cortisone, period. That's it.
All right. So then where does the TSH come in at?
That's your thyroid-stimulating hormone from the pituitary, and what has to be done is that needs to, if it is taken, that's something that says, hey, if we don't have enough thyroid, it'll keep stimulating. Okay, now, if the T3, T4 are bound because the estrogen is up, the TSH often will keep stimulating. They go, well, I don't understand why the TSH is up, because we've got plenty of thyroid hormone. Well, the body can't use it, and the TSH can't, the thyroid or the pituitary also goes, it's not active. So it keeps producing. The other end of the stick, when I talk to the Broda Barnes MD Research Foundation, is that many, many, many times the TSH, which is a serum spun down, is put in glass instead of plastic, and you get nonspecific binding of the TSH. So it's a real, real tricky hormone that...
All right, we've got to take time out now because we're up against the clock. But, Susie, I'll tell you my opinion. The THS age testing for the thyroid-stimulating hormone, in my opinion, is kind of a wasted test. You need the T3, T4, and I always say to the doctors, we've got to run a THS. Well, okay, so, you know, I've got thyroid-stimulating hormone. You know it's there. They say, well, because it's there, so it has to be working. How do you know? You don't know if it's working or not. We've got to go ahead with current events and pet of the week. Susie, we can keep you on hold and bring you up after when we get into the next hour, if you like. Would you like to hold on?
Oh, yes, please. Thank you.
All right, and then I'm going to tell you, and Dr. Al, when we start the next hour, I think the first thing we'll do before we go back to any phone calls to bring up Susie, I will explain to you my version of this imbalance and what it's all about, because I think it's Dr.
Well,
Al likes it when I do it, and I think it makes it. That's one of the things I can do, is make things simple and everybody understands. So sometimes not. Anyway, I'll explain to you my version of what this is all about just after we start the 11 o'clock hour. Susie, Linda, hold on. We will get to you then. Dr. Al, we're putting you on hold, too, and we are going to go right away to current events. And there we go. Sid Gary was just a little slow today. Sid Gary's got other things on his mind. Isn't it nice when Gary's in trouble? See? Okay, speaking of entertainment, all right, first thing on the list, woohoo! It is time to join the Great Backyard Bird Count. It goes on from February 12th to the 15th, 4 days, 12, 13, 14, and 15. It's an annual event for bird watchers of all ages, and this is for anybody all over the country. Count for as little as 15 minutes on one day or as long as you like on all 4 days. And they want you to count the birds in your backyard, at your feeders, in the park, you know, wherever you go. It's fun, it's free, it's easy, and it helps the birds. Now, this is done annually by the Cornell Lab of Ornithology and the Audubon Society, and you can find out more details about the annual backyard bird count and how to report your count at this website, www.birdcount.org. birdcount.org. But oh boy, how great is this? I'm hearing about it not the week after, but the week before, so we can all participate. So the 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th of February, everybody get out there and count birds. Woohoo! And you can do that wherever you are in this country. Whoa! All right. Now, Seattle Animal Shelter is, again, offering free spay and neuter of parent dogs or cats to anyone that brings in litters of puppies or kittens to the shelter, www.seattleanimalshelter.org. Let's see, on the website, go to MarthaNorwalk.com, click on current events for the details on all of this stuff. Positive Alliance has an annual benefit live auction, Positive Futures, coming up on March 6th. Let's see, South County Cats Spay Day, February 1st through March 31st. And, well, let's see, and the Humane Society is offering free spay and neuter surgeries for pit bull and pit bull mixes. And let's see, oh, and there's just a ton more stuff on current events. So go to MarthaNorwalk.com, click on current events for more details that will allow you to read all of the stuff that I don't have time to tell you about right now. So, other than to say, to wrap up current events, next week we are celebrating, it's going to be Valentine's Day, February 14th. I don't remember the last time we did a Valentine's Day show, but anyway, our gift to you is me and Sandy. We're going to celebrate Valentine's Day with a Sandy and Martha Sunday. So that means, well, we'll start with a follow-up animals in the news, best good news about animals as usual, and I'll incorporate this week's stuff that we didn't get to into next week. And then, of course, it's anything that Sandy and I feel like talking about. But mostly we want to hear from you. So we will have open phone lines throughout the show, and we will answer your animal behavior, training, and healing questions. So if your dog's barking and biting and your cat's peeing and scratching and whatever's going on, call us next week because we're free on the air and we'd love to chat with you. And without you, it's no fun. So we hope you will join us next week. All right. So that wraps up current events, and that means it's now time for our brand new Pet of the Week.
Do you see that doggy in the shelter?
Oh, no, what kind of a noise do I make now?
The one with the take me home eyes. If you give him love and attention,
if that's how one of those sounds, but all right. That means it's time for King County Animal Care and Control's interim manager, Nancy McKinney, is here. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning. Those were good noises, or squeak, or maybe a little squeal would work.
Oh, squeak. Okay, everybody, how are your intuitive skills? Do you have any idea what our new Pet of the Week is? Well, we're going to make you wait, because we're going to do a little backlog here and find out about, because we've had some cute boy dogs waiting, some older guys waiting for homes. Did we get anybody a home this week, Nance?
You know, we had some people who were thinking about Hank or George, but they are still available for adoption.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, older dogs are more appreciative. They're not as high energy, obviously, and they just need a great family to relax in and live out the rest of their life. So think about Hank, the black shepherd mix, or George, the boxer mix.
Yeah, they're too cute. George is blonde. Hank is black. Go to the Animal World website, MarthaNorwalk.com. Click on current events. You'll find their pictures. Now, what about last week? We had that treeing walker hound, Roscoe.
Roscoe is still available for adoption. We've actually transferred him up to the Crossroads shelter in case there's somebody up on the east side who might want him. So we're trying to give him a new venue to see if that will also help find him a home.
All right. Well, you guys, you need to call out the troops here. We need to find homes for these dogs. But you know, as it is, Nancy, when we get a backlog like this, all of a sudden one week everybody finds a home.
Exactly.
So we're hoping that'll happen. So now, squeal, 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 creak. Who is our pet of the week this week?
Well, I have a duo. I have two guinea pigs. So I figured we've gone through dogs and cats, so we need to change it up a bit.
Yeah.
We have Bodie and Johnny.
Bodie and Johnny guinea pig.
Guinea pigs, and they are 4 years old. They're at our Crossroads shelter, and they have lived most of their life together, so we want to find them a home together. They don't take up much room.
Oh, that's true.
Bodie is all orange, nice, nice color orange.
Ooh.
And Johnny is the gray and black colored guinea pig on the photo there. And, you know, guinea pigs are great pets if you're not interested or don't want to, you know, deal with a dog and having to walk a dog, but you still want to be a pet owner. Think about guinea pigs Bodie and Johnny.
Oh, yes. And they are at the Crossroads shelter,
mm-hmm.
which is open. Not open again until Tuesday. Is that right?
Right, Tuesday through Saturday.
Tuesday through Saturday, and you can check in with Crossroads on Tuesday if you're interested in adopting a pair of guinea pigs. But they need to be together, right?
Right, and they're very personable pets. I mean, they're very
guinea pigs are great.
They can be trained, and you can identify their different little squeals, and they're just. They are great pets to have. So think about guinea pigs, Bodie and Johnny.
All right. Now, speaking of guinea pigs, does King County Animal Care and Control, do you have any other little critters besides dogs and cats and guinea pigs?
We have one rabbit at the Kent shelter.
Okay.
But the goose we had.
You had a goose?
We had a goose, a stray goose from Covington. No one claimed it, so it actually went to a rescued farm.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I think the rabbit and the guinea pigs are the only non-cat and dogs we have up for adoption right now.
Oh, okay. And then before we run out of time here, so we've got a couple minutes left, the spay and neuter legislation. I think it was supposed to make it out of committee. It had to do it by the end of the week.
Yeah, it did not.
Okay.
The efforts are going to be underway for all this spring and summer to line up more support and get that reintroduced in the 2011 session.
Ah, okay.
Yep.
And
so we haven't given up. It just didn't pass this session.
It just didn't get out of committee this session.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's still an ongoing thing. And I do have follow-up. I didn't get to it. I'll read it next week. But I've got support for the legislation from NOAA and Ann Passato.
Yep.
And then we also have a report a statement from Brenda at the Humane Society and why they're against this particular bill. So I have all that information for you. I just wasn't able to get to it today, but since it didn't make it out of committee on Friday, there's time to deal with all of this.
That's right.
And Nancy, we're going to miss you next week because you're apparently going to be flying on Valentine's Day, huh?
I am, although I have to say I just found out there's another storm hitting Washington, D.C., which is where I'm going. So I'll let you know. I might actually postpone it a week at this rate.
Oh, yeah. For heaven's sakes, didn't they get like 2 feet of snow yesterday or something?
Yes, and they're expecting it the day I was going to fly in on Tuesday. So I might wait. So
nobody in their right mind is flying into that stuff, Nancy.
Family obligations.
Well, yeah, if you can put it on hold, please do.
So I'll let you know.
Okay, all right. So maybe Nancy will be here next week, and maybe she won't.
Testing your flexibility skills here.
Oh, well, we're very flexible.
Yeah, I know.
But I'm voting for don't fly into that storm.
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks,
all right. Thank you, Nance. We'll talk to you next week or the week after for sure.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye. All right. That's going to wrap us up for the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're going to turn this right around, so stay right where you are. We've got Susie and Linda on the line. We'll get to their calls. We're going to start off. I'm going to explain to you my version of what this endocrine immune imbalance is all about, and then open phone lines for the rest of the show. So if you'd like to grab the empty lines, 425-373-5527 or 888-298-5569. You can email us, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. Stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones and Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.